Today on Real Radio.
You came to the door of my parents' bedroom. Mom, Dad, are you in there? That was sacred ground, man. And I don't know why. I don't even remember them telling me, don't cross that line. But it was holy. And I was raised like that in a non-Christian home. Your bedroom is holy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, in the first 9 verses of chapter 7, the Apostle Paul lays out the Judeo-Christian worldview on love and marriage and the role that the physical relationship plays between the husband and the wife. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called God, Love, and Marriage. What's sex got to do with it?
He invented marriage, and he has blessed the union between a husband and a wife. I've had a lot of people over my years of being a Christian tell me, Pastor, I have a hard time. My parents have told me, no, 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 no. And then tomorrow I'm going to be married. And then it's yes, 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 yes. Let me think. Yes. That's right. All for good reason. There is an emotional bond that only marital sex can create. Church family, listen carefully. Please hear me out. You may be upset as we get further along in this message. Just write it out all the way to the end, but write this down for now. There are great, great emotional benefits and physical benefits to a husband and wife having sex on a regular basis, the Bible will say. What does that encompass? What does that mean? Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all, says God. And the bed, the marital bed, undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. The marital bed, it should be a sanctuary. I don't know about how you were raised. I was not raised in a Christian home. But in my home growing up, you came to the door of my parents' bedroom. Mom, Dad, are you in there? That was sacred ground, man. And I don't know why. I don't even remember them telling me, don't cross that line. But it was holy. And I was raised like that in a non-Christian home. Your bedroom is holy. Even if you're not a Christian, God has sanctified it. If you are a Christian, is God in your bedroom? That was the weakest response I have ever. I'm not going to ask you anymore. God is in your bedroom. He sees everything. Pastor, oh gosh, Pastor. I mean this sincerely. A Christian home, if you're not doing this, this is your target. A husband and wife in Christianity, when they are done being in love there in that moment on that undefiled bed, they should hold each other in their arms and he should pray, Lord, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for all of the wonderful blessings you and protect this marriage. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that you'd surround this home with a gigantic wall of protection against the stuff of this world. Bless my wife. Cause us each other to be enraptured like Solomon was with one another only, having forsaken all others. We married one another. Think of that for a moment. That's your target if you're not doing that. Because to view it otherwise, it's dirty, it's filthy, it's not right. Too much of the world is controlling your thoughts, which the world has stolen from what our God has created. Isn't that the way the world works? He's in your bedroom. Thirdly, under this point, marital sex brings the comfort of spiritual belonging. This is, to me, the absolute best. Matthew 19:5 says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. There is the most beautiful, amazing thing that transpires inside the soul of a Christian husband and wife when they're together. And I got to tell you, I think, and I'm sure all of us are wired slightly different, but there is a sense that if you go out or when you go out into that big ugly world out there to work or to do whatever, there is a sense in my heart that my home has been protected and covered. And I'm going to tell you this right now, because ministry has taken place. Ministry. You say, wait, are you saying that there's a ministry of sex? Yeah, if you're married. Don't go online and look around to see if you can sign up for it here. We don't have it. You can't fill out an application for it. No. If you're married, God has ordained us to minister to our spouses in this area of physical love. Why? Because remember when we stood and took our vows before God? Remember when we came together in the sense that the friends and family were there and we exchanged those vows, and then the pastor or the priest or whoever, wherever you were at, Elvis Presley in Vegas said, I now pronounce you husband and wife. The third step was that you consummated that marriage. You have been created body, soul, and spirit, says the Bible. And it's an entire deal. And there is an amazing spiritual belonging when a Christian couple continue to reinforce that marriage bond against the world. 1 Peter 3:7. Wow, this is tremendous. Are you guys okay? So quiet. I wonder why. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them that your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, circle weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Weaker vessel. This is very cool. Weaker vessel. It doesn't mean that the woman can't help herself. That's not what it means. It means that the woman is more of the, we would use the word like a musical instrument. You have a hammer, there's a hammer on the table and a violin. Both are fantastic, but you never use a violin to build a gate. And you never go to the orchestra with a hammer. Hammers are for certain things and violins are for certain things. That's the word. He's not saying women are weaker. He's saying women are created different than the man. Men are like dump trucks. You ever see a guy jump out of his dump truck and say, oh man, I got a scratch on my door. Oh man. No, we're like dump trucks. We're just rough that way. We're different that way. We're created differently. We're just as viable as the woman, but the woman is made like a Ferrari or a Porsche or something, you know. It's different. Both have their purpose, ordained by God. Anointed by the Lord. But when they come together, there's a powerhouse. In our house, we have a microwave and we have a crock pot. I am the microwave. And Lisa's the crock pot. Think of that. You don't like that? We'll just move on. Point number two, God loved marriage. And what's sex got to do with it? Paul says verses 3-5. He says to us that sex creates satisfaction with one another. Satisfaction with one another. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, but if anyone, listen, does not provide for his own household, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and he's worse than a non-believer. I know in our Western culture, we always think about money. I think you're realizing very quickly, as we all are, that money's not that important anymore, seeing how you can actually live without it. Or much less of it, huh? When the Bible says that we are to provide for our homes, gentlemen, if we don't, we are denying the faith. In the context of this message, I want you to be thinking about your marriage as your number one ministry. Oh, I've got to go save the world. I've got to go preach the gospel. I've got to go build a mission station. I've got to go usher. Or I've got to go, hey, wait, whoa. Listen, I mean this sincerely. Ask your wife if that's okay. You say, what do you think, I'm a wimp? I didn't say you're a wimp. In fact, a real man's gonna say, hey, sweetheart, would you agree or not agree that for me being involved in ministry is a good idea? I think, listen, if ministries asked the spouse of the person you're about to hire, what do you think about them applying for this position at the church? Don't you think that's even a better interview than interviewing the person for the spot? Huh? Our kids know who we are. Do our kids report that we love Jesus? Can our husband say, you know what? She's an amazing woman. Boy, I tell you, the other day I had a chance to be at a tremendous gathering. God was glorified. Worship was amazing. It was precious. We were with Governor Mike Huckabee and Michelle Bachmann, who I didn't really know who. I knew who she was, but I didn't know her testimony. She got, you know what I'm talking about? That woman got up and she, for 40 minutes, I'm going to get you the message. I'm figuring out how to, she preached the gospel. She gave the gospel, and then she talked about at 16 how she came to Jesus and what's gone on in her life. She's fostered 23 children in her life and all the stuff that she's done and how she sees, she views her, and she's giving her testimony. And just when she's got us all like, oh my goodness, what an amazing testimony. How God glorifying is this? She's quoting scripture, going left and right. She just says, and you know what? You know who? The reason why I am the way that I am, she says, my husband, Marcus. And she goes off on her husband's faith in the Lord and love for family that I think all 500 of us just wanted to crawl under the table. And you want to know? That's exactly how it should be. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that's how I want it to be. Well, there's a way to get there. There is a way to get there. Sex in marriage has been created and given to us by God to bring satisfaction to our husband or our wife. Number one, mark it down. Verse 3 says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. Circle the word due. It's owed to her. And likewise also the wife to the husband. Listen, sit down. Don't panic. Husbands, wives, are you Christians? Yes. If you are not rendering, circle the word render. The word render means this. We got to render. I'm not kidding you. You're going to think this. I'm making this up. I'm not making it up. The word to render in Greek that Paul used to the Corinthian believer is to give it up. It means to surrender or hand it over. It means to take yourself and place it in the care of another. It means to restore, to reward, to yield. Is that not beautiful? Now look at this. Let the husbands reward, bless, hand over, give it up to his wife. The affection that is owed to her, says God. If you're not giving your wife or your husband affection, guess what? You may be upsetting them. You're making Satan happy. You're offending God, ladies and gentlemen, church family. That goes for all of us. It goes for all of us. And listen, when I talk about this God of love and marriage and what sex has to do with it, I'm afraid that we have been too polluted by our culture. That it's this. Listen, there's somebody wrote a book. I'm not sure, but if it wasn't Kevin Lehman, I'm not sure if it was him, but somebody wrote a book entitled Sex Begins in the Kitchen. And it's all about how you talk to each other. It's how nice you are. It's the words you use. It's the phone calls you leave during the day to your spouse. It is constant outreach, ministry, love. Think about this for a moment. Too many marriages treat the spouse that God has given them as the enemy. When in Christianity, if we're to love our enemies, what's our excuse? If our enemy should be the most loved person on the planet, then how about our husband? How about our wife? You see, it comes down to obedience to God. You say, I don't like my husband. I understand that. I may not like your husband either. I don't like my wife. I understand that. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. What? See, we've been conditioned by our Corinthian world. God says, love him. God says, love her. And if we don't have it, we can ask him for it. But we are to give up our ministry, opportunity, service, satisfaction for the other. To bless them. It's owed to them. Serving in a sexual ministry, as it were, to your spouse. The word affection here means this, overall. The word means overall. It means to all-encompassing, kindness, benevolence, goodwill, satisfaction. We get the word conjugal from this word affection. To wash one another's feet in all areas of life. To be nice and thoughtful, as I said a moment ago. Marriage is so biblical if you think about it. It's all about the other person, not you, not me. Biblical sex is all about your husband. It's all about your wife, not you. Did you hear what I said? You guys, you're not cooperating much at all this morning. You see, what I thought it was all about me. You're approaching it like the whole world approaches it. And that's why the world is so sick. What can I get out of it? What can you provide for me? I want this. I want that. You will and you will not and you this. God didn't create it in that context. Remember the Ferrari we were talking about earlier? You don't drive that Ferrari through Chino Hills State Park. You'll crash it. You'll ruin it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's where Paul lays out the Judeo-Christian worldview on love and marriage and the role of the physical relationship between the husband and wife. The title of the study, God, Love, and Marriage, What's Sex Got to Do With It? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Friday. It's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. By the way, if you've got a question that you'd like to personally ask Pastor Jack, just send an email to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, Pastor Jack, Barb writes in and she says, I've got a question for you, Pastor Jack. My husband says he's a godly man, but he thinks that it's normal to look at porn. I think it's abhorrent what they put on TV today, and men who call themselves Christians think that's acceptable. Some people say, I'm a prude.
Oh, absolutely not. You're not a prude. In fact, people who are calling you a prude, it's probably because they're looking at porn.
Right.
And calling themselves Christians.
Right.
Listen, you are absolutely correct. Porn, the word porneia found throughout the Bible is actually the word sexual immorality. A lot of people think sexual immorality is when somebody fornicates or commits adultery.
Yeah.
Not true.
Hmm.
Sexual immorality in the Greek language originally, which is how the Bible, what the Bible was written in, is the word porneia. Your husband is engaged in porneia, sexual immorality. It is a sin. It is a gross sin. The Bible warns us in the book of 1 Corinthians that a person who is committing sexual immorality of this nature is actually sinning against his own mind, his own soul. It's different. Look, it's a sin to rob a bank.
Right.
But according to Scripture, when you rob a bank, you're not sinning against your own soul in the sense that you're not committing soul suicide,
right,
it appears. But
right,
porneia, sexual immorality, is a sin that affects the spirit, the soul of an individual. There's a judgment that's connected with it. Plus, I believe the Scripture teaches that, as the Bible mentions many times, it uses the word spiritual adultery. Jerusalem has been guilty of spiritual adultery.
Right.
The harlot in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sexual terms, but it's all about spiritual idolatry,
mm-hmm,
and spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I believe sexual sin is actually a sin that is in the spirit realm, a very gross sin. It will affect your marriage.
Right.
It will destroy your husband's appreciation of yourself,
right,
of your body,
mm-hmm,
of himself. It will lead to absolute destruction. Yes, I understand that with all that's out there today, it's prevalent. Well, you know what that means as Christians? Maybe time has come. Not everybody can handle certain books. When I say certain books, I'm talking about there's love novels out there that
are perverse.
Yeah. They are literary versions of pornography. Get away from those. Flee, the Bible says, all appearances of evil. Flee youthful lust, the Scripture says. Look, I don't even want to look at a Victoria's Secret television commercial between the football games.
Right.
I don't want to look at, out here, out west in Southern California, we've got Carl's Jr. hamburgers. I can't look at their commercials. I've got to turn my eyes away.
Yeah, yeah.
It is time as Christians to, can I say, man up?
Sure.
And be tough and put a guard like Job said over his eyes that he would not look upon a young maiden.
Yeah.
It's time for us to put some blinders on and be wise. And if somebody wants to call you a prude, don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. Just make a mental note. They're probably guilty of the same.
So I have someone dear in my life that came to me and said, trust me greatly, came to me and said, Dave, I like porn. And I was pretty comforting to him. I said, you know what? A lot of people do. And it's natural to some degree, I guess. But I told him, God doesn't want you to get involved in it. Yeah. Did I do the right thing by him?
Yeah, I would be, I would maybe be a little bit more to the point this
okay.
way.
All right.
I think I would say, it is humanly natural.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to be born again. That's mm-hmm. why we need to have a new life. That's why we have a new start. And so I would say to your friend, what do you think God thinks about it?
Yeah.
And assuming that the context is that you're speaking about a believer, they would say, well, the Lord doesn't want it. He doesn't like it.
Mm.
And I would say that's true and that's great. And look, you are speaking truth. So what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
And a person who loves the Lord is going to do everything they can within their power. And by the way, that will never be enough for us.
Mm.
We don't have the power.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we call upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Lord, be the power to keep me out of this arena, out of this world. And then, my friend, listen, you need to make sure that you don't drive by Joe's strip club
mm-hmm.
as you're fighting this temptation.
Yeah.
Or if you can't handle your wife's, catalog that comes in the mail for clothing or whatever, mm-hmm. then don't go to the mailbox.
Yeah.
Have her do it.
Yeah, it's practical.
Be really wise.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got to tell you, maybe I would hope there's a lot of men listening right now to us, Davey, that would agree with me that when I'm watching a football game or a baseball game, it's best for me to go to the kitchen during the commercials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's stuff on there I have no business
yeah.
seeing. Well, yeah, but it's a clothing commercial or it's a perfume commercial. I don't care
yeah.
what it is. Believe me, as a man, I'm not remembering, oh, that's great. They're going to have a 50% sale.
Yeah, good point.
I see the picture
right.
of that woman trying to sell the hamburger.
Right.
Or the perfume or the clothing, and I don't need that.
Yeah.
So I want to put a gate.
Yeah,
on
you
my
take
eyes.
The practical step of getting out of there.
It's not worth it. And here's, you know what, Davey, I'm glad you brought this question up, which is completely unrehearsed. I say this to a lot of young people here at church and wherever I'm speaking,
mm-hmm.
because this question comes up. Pastor, I battle with porn.
Yeah.
And this is my answer. I want to have God use my life so powerfully and so wonderfully, and I want to be yielded to God to be used by Him, that I'm in love with Him using me more than a click, a 5-minute click at a computer spot
yeah.
to sacrifice the power. I want to paint this picture into the minds of our hearers right now. I liken our strength as believing men to that as Samson.
Right.
Don't let porn cut your hair.
Right.
Because,
ooh, that's good.
Because you lose power.
Yeah,
there's a lot
good.
Of men today that they don't have the power to control their tongue, their anger, their whatever it is. Why? It may be that they're worshiping at a pagan altar,
right.
pornea,
mm-hmm.
porn,
mm-hmm.
and they've quenched the Holy Spirit in their life. They've grieved the Holy Spirit. They have no power to see God work in their lives. And the reason is because they have allowed things in. I would say this, right now today, say, Lord, I repent of looking at porn. Or listen, if you're a lady, a lot of these women today are reading these pornographic novels. I repent. I'm going to burn it, throw it away. Don't give it away. Burn it.
Right. Good point.
And I'm going to dedicate myself to you. And then, my friend, listen, expect God and watch for God to use your life and become intoxicated with God using you. And as God uses you, you will not sacrifice that wonderful experience for a momentary worship at a pagan altar. I want young men, I want all men, I want everybody today to be more in love with what God's doing in your life than some stupid click on a computer
yeah.
and ruin your life.
Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.